it's time. It is that time. That time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Thursday, Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. We got Nate behind the glass today. So you know we got some things to say about the Niners as well as the Kings. And Eric Armstead had some things to say about his time with the Niners. And we will continue to break down the Kings. And oh, by the way, yes, you already see the swag if you're watching on YouTube, the Sack Chat. And if you are riding around on a beautiful Thursday or listening to us on any of the radio apps where you can also hear us, I'm wearing my Ken Griffey Jr. jersey, and I got the Griffey shoes to match to celebrate Major League Baseball's opening day. We're all wearing different jerseys today to celebrate teams that we like, or if you're Chris Watkins, just a jersey because you got jerseys. Everybody's got a jersey friend. You're somebody's jersey friend.
Yeah, I don't wear them a lot, not nearly as much as I used to. I have a ton. Like, I have a Griffey jersey. I have a ton of jerseys.
We should have coordinated.
It's at my parents' house. That's why I didn't find it. I have a Hank Aaron jersey.
Wow.
Got a big Poppy jersey at my parents' place. I just, I need to go. Well, it's probably best that it's over there because it's just taking up too big of my closet. But, yeah, you know, I figured this is, I got my Sharks jersey on. Yeah, I got my A's hat on. Figured it was the best way of getting as many sports as possible into one uniform. So, you know, I didn't, you went with Giants. You still had to rep the Giants.
Yeah.
But now, the Griffey is like, you know, that's
right.
Iconic,
don't get it twisted. Yeah. I mean, you know, us 90s babies, Ken Griffey Jr., that's right. The guy right there. Yeah. But I am a Giants fan, and we'll talk about the over-unders and how we feel about the Giants and the A's and what they have going on starting today, Major League Baseball's opening day. The changes the Kings can make tomorrow as they try to make sure they get the tiebreaker with the Mavs after that shellacking that happened last night or two nights ago. So the Kings are trying to get back on the right track. LeBron has some things to say about the Kings. And we talked about the split action. Also has some things to say about blitzing Luka. They discussed that. And we also will have at 11:30 Kevin Gray Jr., Dallas Mavericks pre- and post-game host on 971 The Freak, also host of Inside the Mavs Pod. That is at 11:30. And maybe he will give us some things that we can take back to the team and say, hey, we think maybe you could do this or try that tomorrow night as the Kings take on the Mavericks. Chris Watkins, how you doing?
Great, man. You did that whole intro with crumble, like, you know, chipmunked in the side of your mouth. That was incredibly impressive, man.
No,
okay. You're good. You're all good. You know, I just know that we were scarfing these crumble cookies like literally seconds before the show starts. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know how Alan just did all of that and then ate the cookie at the same time.
No water, nothing.
I'm very parched
right now.
It's like you've seen that Popeyes challenge, haven't you? The Popeyes biscuit challenge where you got to eat the biscuit without some water. I was like, I don't know how this man just did that. But, yeah, you know, we're firing on all cylinders on a Thursday. Feeling good. It's a nice little, hey, we got off nights tonight.
That's right.
It's a quiet day. Weird little 2 days off from Kings basketball. Mm-hmm. I think after Tuesday, we all kind of needed a little bit of time off after that to kind of get our thoughts together. I haven't seen anybody see any stray Mavericks around Doko. I was expecting to see, you know, hey, I saw Luka at Echo.
Well,
I text my buddy.
He's got a winery out in Napa, and I said, hey, let me know.
Right, if they're out
the
there.
The rumor
right?
is that they're in Napa. He said he hasn't seen anybody yet.
Okay.
So nobody knows where they're at.
Okay.
Nobody knows
we'll
where they're at.
We'll have to track them down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If anybody sees any Mavericks out and about tonight, make sure to, make sure that they enjoy their night. Is all I'm saying.
That's a good point.
I'm just saying, if we can have any advantages tomorrow, you know, that'd be fantastic. So, definitely excited for tomorrow. It's weird to have this weird day. It is nice, but it's also strange to just feel like, all right, I think I'm ready to get back on the horse. Hopefully the Kings are having that same attitude. Hopefully they're chomping at the bit. There's going to be practice later today. I'm sure there's going to be tons of sound about these guys. You know, oh, yeah, we watched the film. So many things we think we can improve on.
Hopefully
we get a Sasha Vezenkov update. Maybe he can play today as well. We've been eagerly waiting for his return. So, even though there's no game tonight, should probably be a lot of good action as there was last night. I know we're going to talk about the Warriors game, but it feels like the NBA is really starting to, like, I know there's 10 games left, but it feels like now is really where just the entire league is starting to heat up.
We'll have pocket watching at 10:30, which will lead us into our conversation about Draymond and just a conversation about leadership as we discuss De'Aaron Fox and what he had to say in the post game and where that line starts and where that line ends. And pocket watching is going to be probably not as fun as usual because, look, man, I know you've been on the train of the Suns are probably not going to hang around.
Oh,
but they're not going to lose every game.
Yeah.
They're not going to lose every single game. Right. So they beat the Nuggets last night, a pretty impressive victory for the Suns. And as far as the Warriors are concerned, pretty bad loss, I'd say, for the Magic.
Yes.
The Warriors were down Kuminga, and then Draymond gets ejected. Right. The Magic, they're young. I would say that they're maybe not – maybe not ahead of, maybe slightly ahead of schedule, right? They're
sure, yeah.
You're never
just a little bit,
yeah, just a little bit. Because look, the schedules you gotta be competing pretty soon here, especially if you're a smaller market like Orlando. So even if they're slightly ahead of schedule, sometimes that's not good enough because you're worried about these guys. Right. I'm sure there's somebody somewhere on a national network talking about Paolo Banchero going to a big city and a big market. So yeah. Pretty bad loss for the Magic or a good win for the Warriors, however you want to slice it. So we will discuss all that as well. As Chris mentioned, Kings media availability at 12:15. We'll hopefully have some updates. Trey Lyles.
That's also, right. Yeah.
He hopped on the gram and had a little photo that is making people feel like maybe he's moving in the right direction or hopefully he's moving in the right direction. And ultimately, we have to have the conversation that we have every single year, it feels like, with baseball. How do you save baseball? How do you get people more excited for baseball? Me personally, if you've been listening to the show, thank you for rocking with us. If you're new here, I'm a huge baseball guy. I've played it for a very long time. And I don't really get to talk about it too much because nobody cares. And I don't know how to change that. The list goes on and on when you talk about the elite athletes that are currently playing baseball, from O'Neal Cruz to
Ellie De La Cruz. Just do all the cruises, man.
You got all the cruises. Obviously, you got Juan Soto. You got Julio Rodriguez.
Yeah.
You have everybody on the Yankees. Obviously, Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani.
All the young guys on the Braves. I mean,
all the young, Ronald Acuna Jr., all of these dudes. So for baseball to, I guess, not be moving in the right direction, it's not great because I think they're running out of ideas.
Yeah.
And you have baseball purists that don't love some of the changes. I mean, I'm looking, Chris, and there's no prop talk today. And I'll let everybody know what I did for prop talk just for myself for baseball. But these stolen base numbers are insane now because of the new rule, and you can only pick off so many times.
And the bases got bigger last year, right?
And the bases got bigger. Yeah. If none of this is working, or if you don't start to see something within the next couple years, I think baseball, and Rob Manfred, who doesn't even like baseball,
doesn't care.
I think baseball is just going to say, I don't know what else we can do.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it makes sense. Would you say that last year was the biggest change in baseball of your lifetime? Like, just in terms of how, like, the difference from year over year, just the amount of changes that they implemented in 1 year. And yeah, I mean, it was pretty significant, and all of it, from my understanding, was in the sake of making the game more watchable, more universal. You were going to get more action, right? That was the thing. Banning the shift was going to allow more web gems and all that stuff, more steals. You see, you know, you see guys breaking the 60 steal mark. Two of them, I think Ruiz and Acuna both broke 60 steals. I mean, yeah, absolutely. If the game isn't going to bring people, then maybe you start to look more into some of the you know, social media stuff where you just try and have guys connect to the youth. But after that, I mean, I don't know what baseball is going to do, because I think that all the rules made sense last year. I think in terms of if your goal is to make the game more entertaining, it all makes sense. But you're right. Like, if you don't start seeing the results in the next couple of years of direct, hey, the viewership is up X amount, I don't really know where they go from there.
I got to be careful here, but I do think it's a conversation that is real. And if you look around all the different leagues and you look at even a Caitlin Clark, and we asked other media members during the game, how many people, how many stars would you say baseball stars are more well-known than Caitlin Clark in the U.S.? and the highest, I think Whitey just wanted to say 10.
But yeah, we couldn't get more than 5, really.
You couldn't. And
it starts to get a stretch after 5.
And when you talk about somebody who's changing the game the same way Caitlin Clark has, and we know the LeBrons and the Stephs, and football is football.
Right.
It does beg the question, if Shohei Ohtani was American, do you think baseball would more so have that person? And I don't feel comfortable saying that, but the fact that you have somebody doing with Shohei Ohtani before all this betting stuff, what he's done these last couple years, and even it being, we're talking about, oh, well, he's with the Angels. Caitlin Clark's with Iowa.
Right, Iowa.
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 So I don't really want to hear that. Yeah. He's in Major League Baseball.
Yes.
With
a team. LA still. In LA, even if it is
Anaheim,
the. Yeah.
And nobody seemed to care. I know they didn't make the playoffs and things like that. And it's an uncomfortable conversation. But the question, it speaks more to how hard it is for baseball now.
Yeah.
Because now, so me saying, okay, yeah, now you have to find a two-way superstar and he also has to be American and then maybe people will care.
Right.
That's a problem.
No, absolutely. And that speaks to what you were just laying out too, where it's maybe it really isn't the product itself that is the reason why people aren't tuning in. Because again, you're not going to get more of a spectacle on the baseball field than Shohei Ohtani. And if that's not enough to bring the people in or the masses in, then maybe it is really just a personality thing or a marketing thing. And, you know, I think baseball is kind of already too far behind to try and catch up in, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years. To me, that's something that takes a really long time to build up, and you kind of had to have the early head start on it too.
And at the same time, everybody knows how I feel about this. 162 games, they'll never do it. But if you cut it to 100 games, I think things change.
Yep.
But they won't do it for a multitude of reasons, even though the Hall of Fame is already a mess. But that's how I feel about it. We'll continue to talk baseball. Also got a lot of Kings talk ahead of you and Niners talk. A former Niners player has some things to say on his podcast. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
We will be joined by Kevin Gray Jr., Dallas Mavericks pre- and post-game host and host of Inside the Mavs Pod. That's at 11:30. And we're really going to pick his brain on how the Mavericks have done this season. How are they in this situation that they're in with the Kings and the Suns and just battling it out when they, if you hear LeBron, and we have sound later, if you hear LeBron talk about doubling Luka and you see how they shot last or two nights ago, it would beg the question, how did they ever lose a game, right? So did we see the best version of the Mavs last night? Because if so, that gives us hope for Friday. If this is just how they've been playing lately, which we know it hasn't because of the 3-point shooting, then this could be rough. So we will get all that information at 11:30. Trey Lyles posted a picture on his Instagram. It just says tick tick. And this is from our friend Tristy Rodriguez. She says the King said on March 15th that his MCL sprain will be re-evaluated in 2 weeks, which would be this Friday, March 29th. So re-evaluated.
Yeah.
Could he get cleared?
He
tomorrow?
Could. No, it sounds like he could. I would imagine we probably would hear, you know, so he probably could get cleared to play or to return to like practice, but not return to play. He probably would need a couple days of reconditioning and things like that, but you know, because especially since it's a knee injury, you know, he hasn't been able to, everybody always says there's a difference between being in shape and then being in basketball shape. And then especially missing these games at the end of the season, it's like, you know, guys like Domantas Sabonis and Harrison Barnes have played 72 straight games. And then Trey Lyles takes 2 weeks off right at the end of it. It's like, it's just a little bit rough for getting out of condition and then trying to get back into prime conditioning at this point in the season. So I would guess he's probably not going to be back tomorrow, but you know, he might be back by Sunday, which I just found out the other day. The Kings play on Sunday, and then maybe if not Sunday, then on Tuesday when the Kings return as well. We'll see, though, because it's been interesting without Trey Lyles. A lot of reliance on HB and Keegan, and we've seen them go smaller than they've gone all season long, having like guys like Chris Duarte play the four pretty much. So I think Trey's return is definitely going to be needed. And we'll see how, you know, we were just talking about Sasha as well. It's going to be interesting to see if maybe, by no fault of his own, maybe Sasha missed his window of opportunity here to maybe get some time before the season's over.
10 games even. That's what's left.
Crazy.
That's what's insane, left. It's, man. That's it's flown so by. Crazy. It is flown by.
It's like 3 weeks, right, of basketball left? That's crazy.
10 games left. The Kings at 42 wins. Okay, so out of the 10 games, can they got to go, 6-4 to get back to that 48 game mark.
Yep.
And at this point, that's 6-4, 8-2 to get to the 50 game. That's a heater. And this is what we were talking about losing to the Wizards and some of the games that you dropped.
Yep.
Now, this isn't just playing well to end the season. Now it's ending on a heater.
Yes, it's so exceeding expectations.
I'm pretty sure, Chris, especially after losing to the Mavs a couple nights ago, I'm pretty sure we can put a nail in the 50 win coffin. And I hate to be pessimistic, right, but I just 8-2
against the amount of playoff teams they have cooking. Left is cooking. Yeah.
Right.
No, I mean that's yeah, I mean, that would be the Kings, again, playing their best basketball at this point in the season. And, you know, I think it would just be a bit optimistic. I think it's not I don't want to say it's impossible, but it's just it's very, very unlikely that you see. I mean, we just saw this team, even if they played 10 straight really good games on defense, we just saw them have a lapse. I just think that, again, we've seen that be the trend all year long. I just can't see this team winning 5 in a row and then maybe having a drop-off and then picking it right back up and winning 5 in a row again. They play just such tough opponents. They got the Clippers. They still got the Knicks. They got the Celtics. They got OKC. They got New Orleans. They got Phoenix. They would have to just run through all of those opponents. There's a East Coast road trip just in the middle of this thing that they have to go on next week.
Knicks, Celtics, back to back.
Yeah, that's just too big of a task. And you know, it's like you said, it's the bed that they've made, and they're kind of lying in it right now. This is why it was so important to take care of all of the bad teams that like Washington and like you know, that Toronto game could have been frustrating. It's a good thing they took care of business there, but just all of these games here recently that have been a little bit too close for comfort. That Grizzlies game that they eventually won, all of those games like that in which the Kings just kind of played with their food, it's kind of coming back to bite them now.
Yeah, and with Trey Lyles being out and Kevin Huerter, the way I look at this and watching the games, and they've been playing pretty well, and then they have the lapse against the Mavs, it really does speak to how, and this is kind of a surface take, but if you really think about it, everybody just focuses on scoring, and I think not having Kevin Huerter and not having Trey Lyles and seeing the difference now against an opponent. And like I said, the Magic, they're young, and it was a good win. But after seeing the Warriors beat them with no Draymond or Kuminga, it does kind of change things for me a little bit, right? And even though they took care of business, it just all speaks to how much more things matter than scoring. We spend so much time on scoring. Kevin Huerter's not scoring. Trey Lyles has been a brick from three. And we don't understand fully, or it's hard to understand fully, how important just having bodies that can do different things matters besides scoring until they're not out there.
Right.
Until they're not out there.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's you know, there's more than just one side of the ball. It's why it's been so important for the Kings to play this level of defense. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of ties into the Mike Malone thing of like, you have to have guys on your team who do more than just shoot. You got to be able to defend. You got to, especially at this time of the season where, you know, yeah, shots don't go in, you know, teams start to play better, they're harder than they were before. I think that was a big part of the Dallas game the other day. I have to believe that the Kings, in a way, just weren't ready for Dallas's physicality on the defensive end. They had made their money the last time the Kings had saw Dallas. they were an offensive team. They didn't have Gafford yet. They didn't have PJ Washington. They were a very heavily offensive-leaning team. And then now, when we were reading the numbers before Tuesday, they were number one in defense in the last five or so games that they had played. And it's just a completely different style down the stretch. And, yeah, you're seeing that some teams are affected a little bit more than others. And I think Dallas is somebody who, you know, is really playing really good basketball right now. And I think a big part of that is because of how differently the game is being played right now.
They're due for an L. Okay,
it feels like
they're due for an L, and the Kings are going to give
them. The Kings are due for a bounce back.
Exactly what they want and what they need tomorrow night. When we return, pocket watching, let's just say it didn't go too well for the Kings last night. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Little cameo by Simone as we get through these crumble cookies. Stiles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. And it wasn't a great night, Chris. Just waiting. I don't know. Did you catch any of the Nuggets, Suns? And I saw a lot of it. Nuggets weren't able to get over the hump. Just not a great night for the Kings. The Kings are now in the eighth seed. And look, every game things can change. The Suns take care of business. The Lakers take care of business. The Timberwolves take care of business. The Rockets take care of business to keep pace with the Warriors for that 10th seed. The Warriors take care of business. The Clippers take care of business on a very controversial end of the game call. So basically every team, some of them not as connected to the Kings as others, but every team won last night that you would have liked the Kings to see them lose. And tonight you have the Bucks at Pelicans. So at the very least, maybe the Pelicans lose tonight, but we're getting to the point where the Kings are going to have to just win games, man.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think we're pretty much at that point to where it really, honestly, it matters what the other teams do, but for the most part, the Kings handle their own fate. They control their own destiny, however you want to put it. It's just on them to win as many games as they possibly can and then look where they fall in the standings, because again, Dallas has a really easy schedule. Phoenix has a really tough schedule, but like you said up top, like neither of those things mean that it's going to go the way that we think it's going to go. So all the Kings can do is just put their head down, live by the cliche, take it a game at a time. You can't look ahead and say, oh my gosh, we have the Clippers and then New Orleans and then Phoenix. Just take it. And, you know, not to mention all the East Coast games. Just got to try and attack it one game at a time and just hope that you get more results going in your favor. And really the important thing, too, is even if they aren't getting results completely in their favor, you definitely hope they don't get blown out like they did the other day. But start playing towards playoff basketball, man. Like, this thing, at the very least, should be a ramp up. And if the Kings are competitive every single game, I still think that's a good sign for where this team is. I know things are getting a little bit late for those kind of moral victories, I guess. Right. But in a way, the important thing is, hey, play your best basketball at this point in the season. If you're going to be in the play-in, so be it. You're going to have to beat the teams in front of you. We just saw last year, we had two different examples of teams that made it out of the play-in and made more than just, or did more than just make some noise. You had the Lakers make the conference finals out of the play-in. You had the Miami Heat make it all the way to the finals. Not saying that's what the Kings are going to do, but just saying that just because you are the 7 or the 8 seed or just because you are in the play-in tournament in general doesn't necessarily mean your season's cooked. If the play-in didn't exist right now, we'd be talking about how the Kings need to get up to just the 7 seed so that they can play that 2-7 matchup against Minnesota. So that still exists. If the Kings can make it out of the play-in, they still could potentially have a really favorable matchup, but in terms of from the Kings' perspective, it's favored to play Minnesota over a team like Denver or maybe like the Clippers. I think that it's still, you know, success is still tangible here. Like, just because things are going ugly or might not look the way that we wanted or expected it to look doesn't mean that the season's cooked. You're still going to get a pretty good matchup. And, you know, I still believe that the Kings are going to play play Minnesota to a really good series if they do match up. I'm sorry, Jaden McDaniels, but or whichever, Jalen or Jaden, I don't know which one it is, over Minnesota, but you're not sweeping them. You're not beating them four times in a row. So at the very least, the Kings can still hold on to hope that they can make some noise in the playoffs.
I did see a fairly prominent Kings Twitter media person say after the games happened last night, I mean, honestly, No. I'm saying the games night. Say, I mean, honestly, I really just want the Kings to get in on their own anyway. They'll do that.
No. No, let's not switch up.
You can
like
tell
that.
Yourself yeah, yeah. that, yeah. but you just want to get in how you get in. I mean, this isn't football. Oh, we lost, but the other team lost, so we're going to get in. It's not going to be like that because there's so many games. The Kings are going to have to win games anyway. But if don't switch up now just because the Suns won and the teams that we needed to lose, they won. Oh, I want them to get in on their own. Okay,
buddy. I wanted them to earn it. Okay, yeah. It doesn't feel the same if they don't earn it. No. I'll take it. I'll take it if I can get it.
You're going to earn that offseason. Yeah. That's what you're going to earn. So stop playing around. And after the Kings game on Sunday, this is what is the reality of the situation, Chris. And this is why I ain't too proud to say, look, if the Suns want to trick off games and the Mavs want to trick off games, so be it. Because after the Jazz game, the Kings will play 8 games in 13 days with 2 back-to-backs to finish the season against the Knicks, Celtics, Thunder, Pelicans, and Suns. The window is tight. And you know what? What I will say is anything can happen, okay? And you can still get the tiebreaker against the Mavs. The reality is it would have been nice to get that Mavs game, but as long as you win Friday, I don't know how much would have changed just due to the difference in schedules. The Mavs are going to have an easy game. The Kings are probably going to lose to somebody on the East Coast or at some point, the Clipper, somebody, and then it would have been nice to have, don't get me wrong, I am on this copium a little bit, but at the same time, the reality is you wanted a little bit more of that buffer, but the Kings, they could have easily beaten the Mavs and still ended up in the play-in because of what is left.
Sure, yeah, they could have, but I just think that they would have been in a much better situation.
No doubt.
You also kind of start to make Dallas question their spot and everything. Maybe they start, you know, because the reality is, looking at the standings, we might, you know, if the Kings lose tomorrow, we might need to start talking about, like, 9-10 seed being a scary spot. And
if they lose tomorrow, they're probably in the play-in.
They're in the play-in. I'm more saying, like, I think that
the back of the play-in.
The back of the play-in.
No, we're not doing that, Chris.
I'm not saying the Kings. I'm just saying if the Kings would have won both games against the Mavericks, it would have buried the Mavericks more in terms of that gap. Mm-hmm. But also, instead of worrying about, well, I mean, at that point, the Mavericks probably would kiss the play or the playoffs out of the play-in. Away, they would probably start to worry a lot more about those 9 and 10 seeds because looking at it, that probably would have put Dallas in a spot where they're only a half game above the Lakers. And, you know, the Kings definitely can be in that spot if they lose on Friday as well. But, I still think that if the Kings, and it's pointless exercise now, but I really think winning on Tuesday would have put them in a great situation to lock down that 6. I would have put them as the favorite to lock down that 6. Now it just feels like so many things would have to go their way in order to lock that thing down. I'm more focused on getting that 7 seed now because, you know, as they sit in the 8,
getting the 7.
That puts them in Club Phoenix.
You can't just gloss over that. So
I mean, I said this all
week. I know
you said
it, but we haven't sat here and really, I'm putting to bed the 50 wins over here.
Oh, that's done.
Are you putting to bed the 6 seed?
Not yet, but it's on life support. It's getting there. I mean, depending on what happens tomorrow, it's going to be really tough for them to try and eclipse a 2 game deficit over Dallas, or below Dallas, I should say, and then try and get that tiebreaker win
okay,
as well.
Okay, okay. So we're both in agreement if they lose tomorrow, the sixth seed is gone.
It's pretty much gone.
Okay, yeah. But you're basically it's all about tomorrow night.
Yeah, but it okay. always was. Yes. Yeah.
So basically, yes, we're basically this is, you know, your kid is bugging you to, "Hey, I want to stay up later. I want to stay up later." And you know they should go to bed. And if they do one more stupid thing that annoys you, you're going to put them to bed. And this is the one. The Kings got one more stupid thing, and I'm going to have to put you to bed.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's might not even be like by choice. It's just they're gonna knock themselves out. Like, it's not even gonna be a matter of us putting them to bed. It's just I don't even know if the situation's going to be possible after that, just because of, again, how easy Dallas' schedule is. It just feels like, you know, a 2-game deficit, and then you have to get a better in conference record than Dallas to win that tiebreaker. That's just a really, really tall task, and then Dallas is pretty much going to need to choke away the rest of the season. So I kind of feel like it's already cooked, but if they lose tomorrow, it feels like it's pretty much a
I don't feel like it's cooked, because I'm not trusting the Mavericks just based on this hot stretch that they're on. I don't think it's cooked as long as they win tomorrow. They're not cooked.
There's still hope.
If they lose tomorrow, it's over. And I'm looking here at the rest of their schedule, and there's only a couple games. Here's the problem. There's only a couple games that you would actually be upset at the Kings for losing. That's the Jazz game on Sunday, and I don't think they play very well on Sundays. I just don't like those games.
Well, what are the next two Sunday games? The easiest ones they got.
The easiest ones they got. So you – and those are the two – they have three out of the 10 – that you would be upset about.
Yep.
And that's
all
the problem.
On Sundays too. That's hilarious.
Nothing. There's no other game that you could truly be upset at them for losing. You would be really happy if they won, but if they lose to the Clippers, what are you going to do? If they lose to the Knicks in New York, what are you going to do? If they lose to the Celtics in Boston, what are you going to do?
Second night of a back-to-back.
Second night of a back-to-back. If they lose to the Thunder in OKC, what are you going to do? If they lose to the Pelicans, I mean, the Pelicans, to me, that might be the one where it's have some pride.
Yeah, right.
You're going to lose to a team five times.
Right.
How can you look yourself in the mirror after losing to a team five times in a row? I mean, they're lucky. I'm telling you this much. They are lucky that it's the Pelicans and not some of these other young teams that be getting on social media.
Yeah.
The Rockets calling out the Warriors and a bunch of different things. Shea out here. He'd have De'Aaron Fox on a post with him. So they're lucky. But that's one I would honestly, Chris, put in the category of have some pride. You got to get that game.
Yep.
And then the Suns at Kings. It's a gotta have it, but it's not a gotta have it because it's the Suns.
Well, and at that point, it's the second to last game of the season too, and you're probably already decided, especially if everything you just laid out. If the Kings end up pretty much even like honestly splitting those tough games, it feels like it would be an accomplishment, but it also just doesn't feel like it would be enough. So you know, maybe maybe that game matters because you and Phoenix are going to be fighting for that 7-8, and that'll determine the home court advantage in that series, which, please, I mean, at the very least, I know the Kings have been disappointing at home, but if you are going to be in the play-in, please secure the 7th seed. We're already nervous enough about the Kings in a 1-game elimination. We don't need them going to Club Phoenix. We already know they're going to be bumping the volume to level 12 over there. That would be a bad situation. Thankfully, that Friday game is at home against Phoenix in the regular season, but yeah, that would be probably the worst case scenario for the Kings, is just lose it completely, just the bottom falling out the rest of the season, ending up with a road play-in game. And I mean, I don't even want to talk about maybe being in the 9-10, but this is possibly the track they're on. But again, there is a chance that they win tonight. You start to build back that positive momentum. You have an easy game against Utah. Maybe you can get that win against the Clippers, win 3 in a row, start to really feel yourselves, and then head on that road trip. And you know, you play New York, Boston, Brooklyn, OKC. Can you split? Can you maybe surprise and go 3-1? That's how this season can stay alive, but it all starts tomorrow. I mean, you have to start building back that positive momentum tomorrow, and you've got to answer for that 36-point blowout.
Look, and I know Luka, he still balled out, but he is banged up.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a long stretch, and there's no time for him to get healthy. So you never know until you do. When we return, Draymond Green gets ejected after 3 minutes in a huge game for the Warriors, but they were still able to pull it off. What did he have to say? And it opens a conversation about leadership. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
So, raise your hand if you've heard this one before. Draymond Green ejected. He was ejected after 3 minutes. Last night's huge game for the Warriors off a back-to-back. No Jonathan Kuminga. He knows this going into it. They just beat the Miami Heat. They're trying to keep pace with the Rockets are trying to keep pace with them for that 10 seed to not fall out of the play-in. And Draymond, this one was basically not even a foul that he committed.
Nope.
He gets in the ref's face. He MFs the ref and then continues to do so. Gets a tech, doesn't stop, gets another tech, and after he gets ejected, there is a scene that will be used, I think, as a meme for a very long time.
Eternity.
Of Steph Curry. I mean, Chris, and look, we talked about Caleb Williams and masculinity and all that stuff yesterday. He was crying.
Mm-hmm.
I saw he covered his face at the very end. That man was crying.
He had red around his eyes.
He
for
was
sure.
crying on the basketball court.
Yeah.
Real tears.
Yep.
Real
yep.
tears. Yep. Have you ever, have you ever seen anything like that on a basketball court?
No.
Not tears of joy.
No.
We saw him cry tears of joy with the MVP, but literally, he was so frustrated.
Immediately.
That tells me, honestly, it tells me that they possibly had a conversation.
I thought the same thing.
I don't know about those two specifically.
To me, felt like there was a team meeting that was had before. Because let's not forget, remember, Draymond kind of told on himself a couple days ago when he said, I'm not thinking about the Rockets. Right. You know what yesterday's action shows? Draymond Green is not thinking about the Rockets
or anybody
at all.
Anybody.
And Steph's reaction gave me vibes that, and I don't know if this is true, but it felt like before that game, they had a locker room conversation that said, look, we know how important this game is, okay? We need this game to hold off the Rockets, and, you know, the Magic are a really, really good young team. If we lose tonight, there's a lot of – Rockets have won 10 games in a row. There's a lot of momentum on that side, and the Warriors have the complete opposite of momentum right now. We need this game tonight. And it felt like 5 minutes after that conversation happened, Draymond gets kicked out, and Steph is like, bro,
over
we
nothing.
Literally just talked about how important this game is and how we need everybody locked in. I didn't even know they didn't have Kuminga yesterday. Mm-mm. When you throw that into it as well, it's like, what are you thinking, brother? Like, we cannot have this right now. This is, I mean, you know, and if a conversation like that was had, in even if it was yesterday at practice or anything, if they made note of how important that game was and Draymond gets kicked out, I seriously think it this might be a bit hyperbolic, but I do think it's to the level of him getting kicked out in the finals for kicking LeBron. Like, I think it's that stupid of a decision. If you know your team needs you on that day, the whole dynasty is holding on by a thread right now, and you're going to get kicked out, as you said, off of a foul that wasn't even yours.
It's just stupid.
What are we talking about? I could imagine how Steph would get to the point where he's like, I wanted to believe you, bro. I've stuck my neck out for you time after time, and now you're getting kicked out in what is maybe the most important regular season game that we've had. What am I supposed to do? Now Steph Curry's got to put on his cape, and he did. Shout out Steph. Like, he did hit the dagger. He led that team to a victory. He kicked a chair sideline after the game.
What a,
like,
roller coaster,
my God.
Of events. Steph is crying.
Yeah.
He hits the dagger three. He does one of the craziest night celebrations we've seen. Then kicks it. Then
he literally Spartan kicked a chair.
Yes, yes. This is Orlando, and he kicks a chair. All that happens, and then they're going. They're leaving the court.
Yep.
Draymond's waiting for him in street clothes. I'm gonna call him Street Clothes Draymond. That's who he is. And right there doing the night with Steph.
Yep, like it's
and
cute.
And there's a clip of Draymond looking at the camera because there's a camera following him. And they catch Draymond looking at the camera. And the memes just, you bet I won't do it again. He gets left off the
hook. It's the Thriller look. It's Michael Jackson at the end of Thriller.
Back-to-back.
Oh, my God.
Somebody get him back to back.
Dead.
Let's hear from Draymond on his podcast. I mean, he dropped a podcast.
Nuts. This
today.
Is the craziest part.
That's
this is
insanity.
The craziest part.
This is Draymond talking about what happened.
I said what I said. I deserved to get kicked out at that point. And what I said, if I'm all the way honest with y'all, I kind of was trying to turn my body and angle and go to the bench. And I said what I said, like, a little too soon before angling my body to the bench. But yeah, it just can't happen. And, you know, that, like, we need to win games. So.
Good insight. That's good insight there.
Let me get this straight. Is he saying that he's not saying he shouldn't have said what he
said? That's the funniest part.
Because if you saw what he said, I'll put it to you like this. The three words that Draymond said, I can't say any of them on the air.
All three.
None
all
of the three
of
words.
Y'all.
None.
No.
So Draymond isn't saying maybe I, for him to go through and the memes of, have you seen that meme where the woman is sleeping on the bed? And she's got a mannequin head in front of the computer.
Yes.
Somebody said that's Draymond doing his Zoom therapy. Because for Draymond to sit there and say, not that he shouldn't have said what he said, because what he said was not cool at all.
No.
He's saying, I should have turned my body more before I said what. Is this in Looney Tune land?
I think that's the definition of not being accountable.
He's literally the I'm trying to think of a better example.
Like,
I shouldn't have punched that person
so hard.
It
honestly wasn't like my actions weren't wrong. It's how I did my actions that were wrong.
It wasn't that what I said
was
wrong.
I didn't execute it properly.
It's not that what I said was wrong. It's that I said what I said and he heard me.
Yeah, honestly, that's what he's saying. I didn't say it behind his back. I meant, my bad, ref. I meant to say that behind your back.
It's incredible. It is incredible.
I don't know
lack
how
of
you can keep defending him either. Like, if you're Steph, like, I mean,
he's not. He's crying.
I fell victim. I when Draymond came back from all this, I was like, you know, he sounds like he changed. I feel like the antics are done, but like, I feel stupid. I can't imagine how Steph feels. I can't imagine how Steve Kerr feels.
And look, there have been some. We had a call yesterday with Will. Two nights ago when they were in Miami, Draymond did a little mini chokehold somebody.
Oh, that's right.
And it was just called a common foul. It was just called a common foul. And he is who he is at this point. I don't – first of all, when is the last time we've ever seen somebody cry during a game, a professional athlete? I'm not coming down Steph's road. I'm a very emotional person. I'll get the tear ducts going. But cry – during a game that isn't over and not due to injury. I don't know if I've ever seen it.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there's the Isaiah Thomas when his sister passed away.
Okay, yeah.
But besides that, I mean.
Take out tragedies as well.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't happen because somebody gets kicked out of. I mean, you could argue, here's a funny, LeBron cries every game. Luka cries every game.
Drop the mic, and Luka will be crying tomorrow night. When we get back, we will hear from Jay Williams, who may be part of the reason Steph was crying, because Jay Williams says people are starting to question Steph's leadership because of Draymond, and we ask the question, where does leadership start and end? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.